I hope you have got the overall view of the 24 conditions of Patthana. Now let us see how much we understand Patthana. Let's take a seeing for example. Now seeing things is very common experience, and it is supposed to be very simple experience, because we don't have to do anything, we just open our eyes and then we see things. But in the act of seeing, what are involved and how much we can understand about seeing? The more we know Abhidhamma, the more we know about that act of seeing. Now please turn to this page in the handouts. The name is Idoa Thought Process. Maybe towards the end. So I'll first explain to you about this process, and then let us apply the knowledge we gain from the Patthana to this thought process. I was told that there are new participants also who had not attended the first and second parts of the class. So for them, it may not be so easy to understand. So when we see something, now there arises in our mind a thought process, a series of cittas, or a series of consciousnesses. And it is said that material thing, matter lasts 17 times longer than mental states, or 17 times longer than consciousness or citta. So consciousness lasts for only one moment, one very brief moment. And how brief? It is said that there can be billions of thought moments in a second. So consciousness lasts for just one moment, but material properties last for 17 thought moments. First, please understand that. So if it is a matter, then it must last for 17 thought moments. Now, a visible object, the object we see. Now, the object we see is matter. So that object lasts for 17 thought moments. In this diagram, the first line says present visible object. And this is the object of viti cittas. Viti means thought process. Those that are included in thought process. And then second line, a short line with K, KN and GN. And this is another kind of object. K represents kamma, and KN kamma nimitta, and GN gati nimitta. Now it is taught in Abhidhamma that some types of consciousness take either one of these as object. Now K means kamma. KN means in Pali kamma nimitta, the sign of kamma. And GN means gati nimitta, sign of destination. So kamma means just kamma, either good or bad kamma. And kamma nimitta or sign of kamma means the instruments or things we use to perform that kamma, or things we use to perform that kamma. For example, if the kamma is an offering, then the things that are offered or those who accept the offering and so on are called sign of kamma. The offering itself is kamma, and things that are involved in performing that kamma are called kamma nimitta, or sign of kamma. And gati nimitta means sign of destination. Sign of destination means sign of the future rebirth. So one of these are taken by some types of consciousness. And then the third line, there are small circles, and then they are called viti chetas. Those under the line are called viti chetas, and those beyond the line, both preceding and following, are not viti chetas. So they are called bhavangas. So bhavanga is translated as life continuum. They are actually inactive moments of consciousness. So these inactive moments of consciousness take kamma or kamma nimitta or gati nimitta as object. But the viti chetas or active consciousness can take sight, sounds, taste and so on as object. So suppose there is a visible object. When the visible object comes into the range of the eyes, that visible object, as it were, strikes at the flow of bhavangas. And after it strikes, the visible object strikes the flow of bhavanga, that flow of bhavanga stops. And after the flow of bhavanga stops, the active thought moments take over. So this is a typical thought process. So in this diagram, now the first three small circles, and you see the BH under it, so that means that is bhavanga. And then after that, there is an A. So A is also the bhavanga. It is called in Pali, atita bhavanga. Bhavanga that has passed. And then there is a C. It is also a bhavanga. It is vibrating bhavanga. So when the object hits the mind vibrates. The mind shakes. So that is shaking. C is shaking bhavanga or vibrating bhavanga, and U is arrest bhavanga. Bhavanga that stops. So this is the last of the bhavanga, and after that there will be no bhavanga. So it is called arrest bhavanga or cut off bhavanga. Now it is said that when a visible object strikes at the eye sensitivity or eye door, that means when the visible object comes into the avenue of the eye, it strikes the mind also. So the mind at that moment is composed of what are called bhavanga moments, the inactive moments. The visible object strikes, and then one moment is passed. After one moment is passed, at the second moment it shakes. And then the third moment it stops. So after that, the mind turns towards the object that strikes it. So that is represented here by a P. These are all for Pali words. So it is, the P is five sense door adverting. That means turning to the sense object. So at this moment, the mind turns to the sense object. Before that, mind is in an inactive state, and just one moment passed, and then one moment shaking or vibrating, and the last moment stopping. So after the stopping, the mind turns to the object, here present visible object. After turning to the object, next one is CK, that That means seeing consciousness. So it is at this moment that we see the object. So before that moment, we do not yet see the object, although the object is there. So there is seeing consciousness. After seeing, there is the receiving consciousness. SP here means receiving. After seeing, the mind receives or accepts the object. So there is receiving. After receiving, there is investigating consciousness. And after investigating, there is the determining consciousness. And after that, there are seven J's. So during these seven moments, there is the full experience of the object. They are in Pali called Jhavanas. And this word is also difficult to translate. Although it can be translated into English, I think English is as alien as the Pali for most of you. So it is better to keep the Pali word than following the English translation, like impulsion. So some translate it as a perception, and some translate it as impulsion. Both are difficult words. So let us just say Jhavana. So at this moment, the object is fully experienced. And it is said that normally there are always seven Jhavana moments. After the Jhavana moment, there are two T's. T means registering consciousness. That means actually following the Jhavanas. So two registering consciousnesses, and then that thought process stops and Bhavanga takes over again. So there may be many moments of Bhavanga again. Now, if you count from A to the second T, how many do you get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So, with the cessation of second registering, the present visible object disappears, because present visible object arises with A, past Bhavanga, and it arises and it exists for the whole duration of 17 thought moments. And when the 17 thought moments are complete with the cessation of the second registering consciousness, visible object also disappears. So this is what we call idle thought process. It is seeing thought process. So when we see an object, this thought process arises in our mind. And also here, although they are shown here as a line of zeros and so on, at one moment there is only one consciousness. So at one moment there can be only A or C or U or P and so on. Not that we can have the all 17 thought moments at the same time. But we have to show the process in this way so that we understand. So this is the thought process of seeing. But do not think that you have seen the object clearly with this thought moment. What you see is just a visible object, not yet, let's say, a flower. Not yet a flower. Let's say you think you see a flower right away, but what you see is not flower yet during this thought process. So what you see is just a visible object, something that can be seen, not yet a rose. So in order to understand that it is a rose, you have to go through many more thought processes, but they are too complicated. So let us just take this one very simple thought process. And A, C, U, B and so on are types of consciousness, chittas. A is one citta, C is another citta, U is a citta, and so on until Bhavanga and also citta. So each citta is accompanied by a number of chetasikas. So I don't give any number here because it will make crowded. So for A, there may be a number of chetasikas, for C, U, and so on, there will be different number of chetasikas with different chetas. So just please understand that these types of consciousness, beginning with BH until the BH, are all accompanied by certain number of mental factors or chetasikas. And also, consciousness can produce material properties. So, at every moment of these chetas, the chitta-born material properties are produced. Chittaja rupa means chitta-born rupas, chitta-born material properties. That means material properties caused by chitta. Now, when you are happy, you have a different kind of material properties, or when you are sad, another kind of material properties, when you are angry, another kind, and so on. So mind can create material properties also. So at every moment, chetija rupas are also produced, so they arise. Now once they arise, a chetija material property arises, how long it will last? 17 thought moments. So it will go on for 17 thought moments. Then at the next moment, another material property is produced, and then it will also go on 17 moments, and so on and so on. And also, these types of consciousness must have their base, their seat. And here, let us take just two bases. One is chakkhuvatthu, that means eye base. Eye base means the sensitive parts in the eye. So that is eye base. And next one is hṛdayavatthu, heart base. So chakkhuvatthu also arises, and then it will last for 17 thought moment. And then next moment, another eye base arises, and then it will last for 17 moment, and so on. And the same with the hṛdayavatthu or heart base. So this is what is happening when we see something and when this viti or thought process is going on. Now, the uppermost line is present visible object. Since it is the present visible object, it is the object condition, number two. It is the object condition for the chetas below. Chetas below means beginning with P. So beginning with P until T. So these chetas, beginning with P until T, take the present visible object as object. So there we can explain by way of Patthana that present visible object is the conditioning state for the chetas below, beginning with P until T. So they are related as object and let's say subject. Now each one of these chetas, beginning with BH, when BH, the left side BH, when BH disappears, in its place A arises. And then A disappears and C arises. C disappears and U arises. U disappears and P arises, and so on. So what condition can we have here? You remember? Say number. Number one, or two, or three, or four, or five. Number four, right? So, anantara. We can have anantara condition here. A and BH is the anantara condition for A, A is anantara condition for C, and so on. So this relation we can explain through the knowledge of the conditions. So when there is number four condition, there is also number five condition. So here, BH to A, A to C, C to U, and so on, there can be proximity condition as well as contiguity condition. Now, P, five sense door adverting, belongs to the rootless types of consciousness. This one. So P represents that type of consciousness. So it is called five sense door adverting. That means turning to the object in the five sense doors. So this is functional consciousness. Now, these are akusala, unwholesome consciousness, and these two columns, the first column and the second column, they are resultant consciousness, and the third is the functional or kriya consciousness. So after this P, there is accepting or receiving consciousness, and receiving is the either of these two, the receiving consciousness. And after the receiving consciousness, there is investigating consciousness, one of these three. And after the investigating consciousness, there is the what? Determining consciousness, and determining consciousness is this one. And then there come jhavanas. So jhavanas may be, let us say, we see a rose and we are attached to the rose. So we like the rose, we have lobha for rose. So it may be one of these eight. Not these two. One of these eight. And then there are two registering consciousness, tadharamana. So registering consciousness are these eight, the middle column, and again these three. So one of these 11 are called registering consciousness. Now, P is kriya. It is one kind. And seeing is resultant, it is another kind. So although seeing consciousness follows the P, adverting consciousness, there can be no repetition condition. There are proximity condition and contiguity condition, but there is no repetition condition because they do not belong to the same kind. Again, with the SP, ST, and VU. But with the J, now, from VU, from determining to jhavana, there is no repetition condition because they belong to different kinds. But from first J to second J, second J to third J, third to fourth, fourth to fifth, fifth to sixth, sixth to seventh J, there can be proximity condition, contiguity condition, and repetition condition also. And then from last J to T, there is no repetition condition. And from T to T also, it is the same consciousness repeating. There is no repetition condition because repetition condition has to do only with wholesome, unwholesome, and functional. The registering consciousnesses are not functional, so there is no repetition condition. So, looking at these types of consciousness following one another, we can understand that they are conditioning and conditioned by way of proximity, by way of contiguity, and some by way of proximity, contiguity, and repetition. Actually, we also get the absence condition and disappearance condition also, because absence condition, disappearance condition are the same as proximity condition. So we can explain their relationships with each other through the patthana conditions. Now, let us take chetasikas also. Each consciousness, that is BHACU and so on, has a number of chetasikas arising with them. So let us say E and chetasikas. What kind of relationship or what kind of condition can we have? A to chetasikas. They arise together. So there can be cognizance arising together. And they support each other. So there can be mutuality. There can be mutuality condition. And then what else? They arise together, they disappear together, they have the same object, and they have the same base. So there is also association condition also, condition between A and chetasikas. And the same with C and chetasikas, U and chetasikas, and so on. So we can explain the relationship between the consciousness and mental factors in this way. And at every moment, there is a material property produced, or chittaja rupas here. So, E to chittaja rupas, what condition can there be? They rise together. So, there is the cognizance condition. And also, they arise together, are they associated or dissociated? Dissociated, because the mind and matter cannot be associated. So there is dissociated condition also with the chetas, with the chetaja rupas, or rupas born of cheta. And then, these chetas must have their bases or their seats. Now, just as we need a seat to sit, the consciousness needs a seat to arise. If there is no seat, consciousness cannot arise. So, what is the seat of seeing consciousness? The eye. And the seat of hearing consciousness? Ears, and so on. But there are some types of consciousness that have the heart as the base. So, first, let us see chakkhuvottu or eye base. And eye base is a seat of seeing consciousness, CK. So, eye base is the seed of seeing consciousness. So, between seeing consciousness and eye base, what condition can we have? Now, please remember that eye base arose and is existing when seeing consciousness arises. In Pali, Puri Jata. Pre-nascence, right? So, chakkhuvottu or eye-base arose before seeing consciousness arises. And when seeing consciousness arises, it is still in existence. So there is the pre-nascence condition. And since seeing consciousness is consciousness and eye base is material property, there is a dissociation condition also. So in this way, we can understand the relationship between the consciousness and their base. Now, the Chakuvatu is eye sensitivity, and so it is among the faculties also. So Chakuvatu is a faculty condition for seeing consciousness, right? And other types of consciousness have the heart as their base. So they depend on heart base, or their base is the heart. So heart base is a prenascent condition for the other types of consciousnesses. And also there are dissociation and so on. So when we understand Patthana, we can explain how complex this very simple act of seeing is. Now, it is unbelievable that Buddha could penetrate into the intricacies of the seeing mechanism. So we are seeing things every day, and it almost is nothing for us. We don't know about much about seeing, but when we study Abhidhamma and especially Patthana, we come to know how complex just this seeing is. But it is just the beginning of the complexity. So in order to say I see a rose, you need how many more? You need four more kinds of thought processes so that you can say I see a rose. And these thought processes will go on again and again, similar to this, but actually different from this, but very similar. So when we understand Abhidhamma, we know these things very intricately, and also we know how they are related, and so we see that there is no agent or no person or no higher authority administering this seeing. Seeing just arises, and seeing arises because there is the visible object, and because there are the eyes, and then they come together, and then seeing arises. So seeing is not created by anything or anybody at all, but just when there are conditions, they arise. So this is a teaching of the Buddha. And so through understanding this, we can understand the anatta nature of things. There is no substance, there is no person, no individual, and no authority giving us command. You be adverting, you be seeing, you be receiving, and so on. So they just arise and disappear following the fixed law of consciousness. The fixed law of consciousness means after adverting, there is seeing consciousness. Now, if it is a visible object, if it is sound, then there will be hearing consciousness and so on. And then it must be followed by accepting or receiving, and receiving must be followed by investigating, it must be followed by determining, and determining must be followed by the jivanas or full experience of the object and so on. So these follow one after another according to the fixed law of consciousness. And this fixed law of consciousness is a natural law, and so we do not need any lawmaker for this law. We do not need anybody to regulate this law, but this is the natural law going on and on, independent of a person or a being or whatever. So we can understand the anatta nature of things through the knowledge of Abhidhamma. And I think the whole of Abhidhamma Pitaka is just to teach us that there is no atta, everything is non-atta. Because wherever you read, everything is analyzed into its components, and so there is no substance, nothing enduring, because they arise and they disappear at every moment. And so we understand that there is no atta or abiding entity in and all of the things. And also, we can understand how mind works with the stimuli or with the objects we come across or we experience. And it is very difficult to see the mental states, because they take the same object and they rely on the same base and so on, but each one is different from another one and so on. And so it is very difficult to see or to be able to say that this is adverting, this is seeing, this is receiving and so on. That is why Venerable Nagasena said Buddha had done a very difficult job in explaining mind to us, that it is easier to pick up a handful of water from the ocean and say this is a water from this river, this is a water from another river, than to say that this is one chitta, this is another chitta, this is a contact, this is feeling and so on. So it's a very difficult job Buddha did. And so Buddha taught this to first to gods, and then he taught this to Venerable Sariputta, and Venerable Sariputta brought this down to human beings. So when we understand Abhidhamma, we see life in a different way. So when you see something, now you can imagine what's happening in your mind. Or it may be too fast, but at least you can think of this. So this is just one very simple thought process. And in this very simple act in the life, we can explain many things. There are other things we can say about this, but I think this much is much enough. So, oh, by the way, in Myanmar, we use the circles to represent the three sub-moments of one moment. So you see the three circles here. So these three circles represent one moment. And this one moment is divided into three sub-moments. So the first moment is called arising. And the second moment is called standing or presence. And the third moment is called disappearing. So arising, standing for some time, and then disappearing. These are the three sub-moments of one moment. So in order to show these three sub-moments, we use three things here. And the circles, or the empty circles, indicate that there is nothing, there is no substance in it, so just void or something, some emptiness there. So to show that although we think that mind and matter are substantial, actually in the ultimate analysis there is no substance at all, just void. So in order to show that these types of consciousness are void and immaterial, then the empty circles are used to show the three sub-moments of one moment of a consciousness. So in this thought process, now if you look at the first line, you see the line begins with the beginning of A, and it ends with the end of T. So this is the duration of one material property, here a visible object. Although it arises with A, A does not take it as object. C does not take it as object. U does not take it as object. So these three take K, Kn, and Gn as object. So this is also a fixed law, that the bhavangas take karma or sign of karma or sign of destination as object. So during these three moments, the present visible object is not taken by these three bhavangas, these moments of life continuum. Only when it comes to P or adverting does the consciousness take the present visible object as object. And then it goes on until the end of the second registering consciousness. So with the end of the second registering consciousness, the present object disappears. So that is the end of one thought process. So after the thought process comes the moments of bhavanga. So it is said that there can be thousands of moments of bhavanga between thought processes. So the moments of bhavangas are like buffer zone between two conscious processes. So this kind of thought process and bhavanga, thought process and bhavanga go on and on and on. Not only in this life, next life also, this succession of thought moments go on and on and on until the end of the samsara, until a person attains arahantship, until a person becomes a Buddha or an arahant and he dies. So only then there is no more consciousness or no more the material properties arising. Okay. So tomorrow we will read the conditioning and conditioned states of 24 conditions, about one or two or three conditions. And then we will study the manual again. We will pick up the manual again. What is the difference in the rebirth consciousness of these three persons? One who gives mindfully, two, one who thinks of cause and effect while giving, and three, one who thinks of what he will get when he gives. So mindfully giving may be more or less the same as thinking of cause and effect while giving. So in that case, his rebirth consciousness will be accompanied by three roots. And number two, person's rebirth will definitely be accompanied by three roots. One who thinks of what he will get when he gives. At this moment, his mind is not accompanied by understanding, not accompanied by the thinking of cause and effect. And so his rebirth consciousness would be with at most two roots. It is a common practice of Buddhists to share and transfer merits from performing meritorious deeds to loved ones and deceased relatives. A. Is this belief valid? Now, I use the word share instead of transfer. It is not transference of merit. It is actually sharing the merit. Even sharing the merit or even share can be misunderstood. So, but there is, I think, no better word than share, and so I used sharing of merit instead of transferring merit. And sharing merit means not giving your share to another person. It is letting another person or other beings get merit themselves by asking them to rejoice at your merit, actually. So when you say, may this merit be to you, or something like that, or I share merits with you, that means, please rejoice at this merit and get merit yourself. And then the merit that they get themselves will give them results. So this belief is valid. This is a Buddhist belief, or Buddhist practice, that people share merits with loved ones or deceased ones or with all beings whenever they perform a meritorious deed. And it is good, and I would recommend that you share merit with all beings whenever you perform a meritorious deed. You may think that it is a very small act of merit and you don't need to share merits. But Buddha said, if you have the good intention, if your mind is clear, there is no such thing as a small dana. So what is important is the quality of your chetana, the quality of your intention, and not the quality of the thing given. So you may just offer a flower to the Buddha, a flower you can get even without paying anything. But if you offer this flower to the Buddha with your mind clear and with the understanding of the law of cause and effect and so on, then it can give great results. So whenever you do a meritorious deed, please share merits with all beings. Then next question is, how does the intended recipient supposedly benefit from this merit, particularly the dead? Now, we often do a service for departed persons. And then sometimes we don't want to tell the whole truth. Because once a Brahmin asked the Buddha, Bhante, we Brahmins also give lumps of food, say, for the dead, and do they get the share? And Buddha said, there is a situation where they will get, and also there is a situation where they will not get. So sharing of merit, we do sharing of merit for a person, say, for a relative who has just passed away. But if that person is reborn in hell, Buddha said he cannot get the share of merit because he doesn't know about this. And if he is reborn as a human being, he will not get the share of merit. If he is reborn as a celestial being up in the space, like Tower Dings of Heaven and so on, he will not get the share of the merit. If he is born as a Brahma, he will not get the share of merit. Only when he is reborn as a ghost will he get the share of merit. And also, only when he knows about this and only when he rejoices at it, or only when he says sadhu, 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 only when he accepts the offer, that he will get the benefit of this dana made for the benefit of him by those who are left behind here. So that is why when you do an act of merit for the loved ones or your relatives who have passed away, please do not confine to them only. Please share with all beings, not just... That is why I'm a little sort of uncomfortable when people say, idam wo nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. You are sharing merit with your relatives only and not with all beings. So it is good to share merit with your relatives and also with other beings as well. Kindly explain it in the context of the doctrine of Paticca-samubbada. Doctrine of Paticca-samubbada is the something like a wheel of life, and from one to another. Now, when you do some meritorious deed, you are acquiring sankhara. Sankhara belongs to the past. So let us say you are acquiring what is called kamma bhava, kamma process of existence. So this kamma bhava will give results in the future, in the next life, at the moment of conception as well as during life. Which of the 12 factors relate or suggest that by such practice one can break the link of existence he cannot break the link of existence that way. The only way he can break the existence is practice of mindfulness. So you practice mindfulness and you can break the wheel at the place between feeling and craving, right? So between feeling and craving is the place where you can break this link. Because the others, you cannot. They will go on and on and on. But it is a place where you can break the link, and that is between vedana and tanha. So you have vedana, you have good feeling, but if you practice mindfulness, you will not be attached to the vedana, and so there will be no craving. And you have pain, but you practice mindfulness, and you have no desire for this pain to go away, or you have no desire for the pleasant feeling to come, then you are breaking the link. So only by practice of mindfulness can you break the link. While there is no first cause or first beginning, is there a predominant factor among the paticca-samubbara? Now, there are two roots in paticca-samubbara. I think we already learned that. The ignorance is the one root of one part, the first part, and craving is the root of another part. So these two are the predominant among the paticca-samubbara factors. Which factor or factors would be the more practical one among the paticca-samubbara to cultivate towards eliminating? I think mindfulness is the only thing, not these factors. These factors just go on and on and on. And so, as I said before, you can break this process only at that moment when you have vedana and let yourself to get tanha on vedana. Do animals go through the same thought process? Seeing thought process, yes. But more complicated and more sophisticated thought processes, they may not have. But seeing thought process, hearing thought process, it's the same for animals as for human beings. Sarah, you said that we read about 5 thought processes to recognize a rose object. What about people who are mentally disabled? How come their ability to recognize things are poorer? Now, moha deludes the mind. So these people have more moha in their mind so that their ability, say, to respond to the objects have become dull. Does that mean that they need longer thought process to recognize the object, or they never complete the 5 thought processes? If they do not come to knowing that this is a rose, this is a man, or this is a woman, then they do not complete all the 5 thought processes. Do devas and brahmas and other beings experience the same viticheda process? Yes, but there are different kinds of thought processes, and some thought processes may not be experienced by brahmas, like thought process with dosa. If the Buddha taught Abhidhamma in person, why is Theravada Abhidhamma different from Sarvastivada Abhidhamma? Since both systems are not the same, which is correct? I'm a Theravada Buddhist monk, and so naturally I will say Theravada Abhidhamma is correct. You know, according to Theravada, Sarvastivada and others developed later. So, according to Theravada, Abhidhamma was taught when Buddha was alive. And these schools of Buddhist thought arose only after the death of the Buddha, about 100 years after the Buddha and between 100 and 200 years after the death of the Buddha. So they have different understanding maybe of the Abhidhamma, and so the Abhidhamma is not the same as Theravada Abhidhamma. Many are same or similar to each other, but there are differences also. Okay.